Hi, I'm Aaron Sturgis, pastor here at Central Lutheran Church, and I welcome you to Central Lutheran's podcast. This podcast is called We Love to Tell the Story, and it's a podcast that's about our story and how we see God at work in each of our lives and how we experience God and the resurrection. So thanks and enjoy this podcast. Joining me today is Tom Dramel. Tom Dramel is a member here at Central Lutheran Church, and his passion is to be the church, to be out in the community, being the hands and feet of Jesus. And this is Tom's story. So, this is the second week of Easter.
Second week of Easter, okay.
Kind of.
Okay.
Sort of, maybe.
I'm with you.
The story for this week is all the disciples locked in the room, and Jesus comes and appears to them, like he said he was going to. And how their stories, how that kind of is the point at which the disciples start to get it and start to realize they need to tell this story. They need to tell the resurrection story. You know, this stuff is, this resurrection is true. What Jesus said was true, and so now we need to start telling it. Like Mary started telling it the week before when she came to the tomb and saw the tomb was empty. So my first question for everybody this Easter season, and for you, Mr. Dramel, is what does the resurrection mean to you in your life as a Christian, as a man who is deeply invested in his church here at Central? What does the resurrection mean to you?
Well, the resurrection sums up my whole belief system. Without that, we have nothing. What are we? If Christ would have died on Friday and not risen, what are we left with? Mm-hmm. So it's the cornerstone of the faith. It's the most important day of the church year, as far as I'm concerned. It's what defines who we are, what we are, and what we should be striving for.
So for some people, they might resonate with a particular miracle story or a sign that Jesus did or something. But for you, the resurrection truly gives the meaning and the reason behind your faith.
For sure it does. Yeah. And all of the things that Christ did up to that point, I look back on and I looked at, he was out with the people. He didn't, even though he was a carpenter, I don't remember even building a church.
Yeah.
And it seems like he would have had the ability to do that. His thing was being out with the people, and that's the way I see Christianity being, is that we are out with the people. And you know, the Bible verse, John 3:16, that everybody knows, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for us, so that we shall live forever. Yeah. That's what he gave to us. And then I look a little further in John. I think John in chapter 13, I can't remember the exact verse, but it's kind of summed up is that the world, you know, love me, and the world will know that you are my disciples by the love that you show them.
Yep.
And I think that's what we're required to do. He's given us this wonderful gift. It's like we've won the cosmic lottery, eternal life, every one of us. So
yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It's funny. It didn't take you long to go there, to missional.
Yeah.
So my question is, I mean, you're one of the faces of Central. People know you. Part of that was probably because the years at Mason, you know, shoes and so forth. But you're here faithfully. You know, you're invested in the things that happen in this church. But tell us a little bit more about your passion for. Getting back to what you said, that Jesus, as a carpenter, didn't build a church. He was the church. And we too, I know you're going to say this, but we too are the church. What does that mean to you?
About being the church?
Yeah, about being the church. Because you're here all the time. You're here religiously. Yeah. But I would say Tom Dramel is most often out in the community, trying to figure out, trying to look for, trying to see how we can be the church out in the community. Say more about that.
Yeah, well, a while back at church, we'd read this book, Missional Renaissance, and that had a huge impact on me. And I started to look more into the mission aspect. And I've always kind of been like this. I like meeting with people, but I'm not, I've been accused of being shy as well. But it's, I came across a phrase after that was, don't just go to church, be the church. And that was really resonated with me. And I put it up on the signboard. And I think it's important to realize that you have to get outside those church doors to really live your faith. Otherwise, you know, sometimes you look at church as being, well, people just come in and they read the words that you've got printed for them, and are they, do they really mean anything to them? I always think, you know, like if someone gave me a speech and I had to go talk to my own dad, and here's the words I have to read, you know, Dad, I think you're great, and this, et cetera, et cetera. It wouldn't mean so much. It wouldn't be coming from the heart. And I think when we go outside and meet the people and see some of the things, the people in need, and how we can help them, I think it's so important. Otherwise, you know, sometimes you think, you know, are we just pew potatoes? Are we just sitting here? We come and be entertained and on Sunday morning, and we just listen to the word. We really don't get much chance for feedback. We don't get to raise our hand and ask a question in the middle of your sermon, although I know if someone raised their hand, you would answer the question. But we, you know, we're just not ingrained to do that. It's like we're just there, and it's like we're just takers at that point. And I kind of look at it more, not necessarily takers, but it's like you're refilling your fuel tank.
Yeah.
It's like a gas station. You come and you give praise back to God, and you get re-energized to go and really do the work that you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
The work we're supposed to be doing isn't necessarily sitting in church. The work we're supposed to be doing is when we walk out that door and live it. And being a Christian is not just a Sunday thing. It's an actual lifestyle.
Yeah.
It is your lifestyle. It's 24/7, 365 days a year. It's the way you are. It's how you present yourself to the world. And
Was there before Pastor Rick Hoime, now Bishop Hoime, introduced that book to Central? I mean, how was it for you being, you know, a fellow Christian at Central, you know, who's doing, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours a week at work? You know, I mean, how was it for you leading up to that moment, that aha moment that you had, wait a minute, we need to be rethinking how we do church?
Yeah.
I mean, what was life like for you? I mean, were you raised in a Christian home in which you guys did all this? Were you and Jan doing all this with your kids, with Aud and Lisa, with Lisa?
Great.
And yeah, were you guys, what was life like before this aha?
Well, I'd served on church council 3 or 4 times prior to that. And as most people get on church council, you're kind of recruited to do it. And you get there and you just kind of do what you're supposed to do and keep your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
And don't question anything. Don't come up with a new idea or anything like that. And this last time I was on council is close to the time I was going to retire from Mason. And I just, a lot of times I'll go in the backyard and I'll sit and have a fire and maybe a glass of wine and just kind of sit and think. And I just started praying. I says, you know, please God, let me make a difference. I want to make a difference this time around. And I, you know, give me whatever I need to do it.
Yeah.
And I was raised in a Christian home, my mom and dad and my grandfather. My grandfather read the Bible every night. Can't remember him going to church. I'm sure, you know, they did go to church. He was on the church board and everything, but, you know, they had to milk cows and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandfather, huge influence in my life, and my dad, too. You know, I think my dad lived that life. He came from a farming background. He was a veterinarian. And when he retired, he had a recipe card file, thick file of all the farmers that still owed him money. Now, he could have went after all of them, and I suppose sent bill collectors after him. Dad took that box and dumped it all in the trash.
Yeah.
He says, sometimes they just need a little bit of help. They, you know, they want to, and Dad got paid with chickens and pigs and case of beer and, you know, I mean, whatever they had. But so I've been raised in that, and I'm lucky in that way. I often think of, you know, if I would have been in a different family, how would it have turned out? If it would have been the same, I'm not sure. But I did want to make a difference, and I started doing things kind of outside the box when I got on here. Like I saw, I said, well, I'm going to just look in the paper and see what's going on with other churches. I noticed a Landmark Christian Church was doing a peanut butter drive. Their youth were doing a peanut butter drive to send to Haiti. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. So I went and talked to Mike Cahoon over there. And I says, well, how can we help with this? And he said, well, our youth are doing it. You know, if you want to gather it up, peanut butter for us, that would be great. So I said, why don't you have your youth come and talk to our youth? We'll get up in front of the church and we'll just see what happens. So we presented to the congregation, and, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, we had well over 700 jars of peanut butter with a quarter taped to the top of each one for shipping. And that was kind of an aha moment. It's like, you know, should I even be doing this? Gee, they're not a Lutheran church.
Yeah.
But that was kind of an aha moment. And prior to that, actually, we'd helped them with a project where youth came into town and they would paint houses and things like that. And they just needed people to help with maybe serving them meals or carrying stuff to the work sites or things like that. And we just put it on our servant sheet, and let's see if we can help them out. And all of a sudden, we had like over 30 people that were willing to help this other church with their mission project. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of aha moments.
So it was really, you know, getting back to what we started with, started in the conversation, is the resurrection informs how you live as a Christian, and that right. Your focus is being the church. And really, it doesn't matter whether you're Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, you know, when you're out being, I think this is one of your famous quotes, is being the hands and feet of Jesus.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Because that's how you respond to this wonderful gift that God gave us through the resurrection. Okay, so the next question is how, as a grandpa, yeah, how many grandkids?
Five grandkids.
Five grandkids. Mm-hmm. How are you being the church with your grandkids?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just out of curiosity, you know, like I'm just wondering how you live your faith, you know, be the church, you know, with your grandkids. And
I think just show them that I love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, hug them each time. It's like, and I don't sit down and say, you know, are you going to church or not? And,
yeah.
I mean, it's important they do that, but I think the love I show them is more important than starting to grill them on, you know, yeah. Do you know the catechism, or do you know this or that, or do you spend a lot of time in Sunday school? Do you do your lessons? I don't do that type of thing, but I think just being there for them.
Yeah.
The
life you live speaks volumes or says it more than words would.
Yeah. So. And just, you know, get around to them, you know.
Yeah. So, final question.
Sure.
What is your favorite part, or, you know, what do you like the most about Easter? Anything?
I think it's a time, it's one of those seasons of the year that family just kind of gravitates back together. Mm-hmm. We're going up to my brother's and taking my mom and dad, and we all just kind of get together. When we're little, obviously, every day we're together. And now we don't all get together quite that often. I think I enjoy that part of it. I guess that's kind of on the secular side of it.
But
I enjoy coming to the sunrise service. There's just something calming about that. It actually isn't quite as crowded, you know, which is good. But I enjoy that, and just being around people that have that same belief. And realize it. What a special time this is.
Yeah.
That, it just, like I said, it just kind of this is what it's all about. This is the defining moment of our faith right here, right now.